Matthew 16th chapter. It has been a gold mine. That's all I can say. We're going to go back over. We're going to finish the chapter right now. I could do two or three more messages. We've done four messages on Matthew 16th chapter so far. We started out and we talked about the sign of Jonah in 16:1-4. And Jesus told the Pharisees and all of them that he would give them only one sign, and that's he's going to die on the cross. He's going to be buried for 3 days and dead and be raised again. And then he talked about the leaven of false religion. And he explained what he said in Matthew 13:33 with Matthew 16:5-12. That false religion, we talk about false religion in the world today, religion that takes people away from God and not to God. Then we talked about the founding of the church, the calling of the church. We talked about the church being announced, and the work of the church is announced here. It talks about in Matthew 16:18-19, he tells his church that what they were bound in heaven bound on earth will have already been bound in heaven. What they loose on earth will already be loosed in heaven. And then it tells the church, and it tells also Jesus said that he is the rock, not Peter. Peter says, and 1 Peter 2:1-8, that Jesus is the rock. He's not the rock. Jesus is the rock. He's the rock of Israel. He's Jehovah is the rock. And that we have the organization of the church here, how the church is going to baptize people, receive and dismiss members, and what's it talking about here. That's the primary interpretation of this. Many people use this out of context. And other applications. You can use it in applications, all right, but what it's talking about is church membership and the church is the work of the church. And we're going to see that again, progressive revelation. In Matthew, the 18th chapter, he's going to explain Matthew 16:18-19 a little better, a little more thoroughly. Now let's go to Matthew 16:21. And Jesus is going to foretell again of his death. He talked about it in the sign of Jonah in Matthew 16:1-4. Now he's going to talk about it again. But he's going to really reveal to his disciples slowly that I'm going to die on the cross. That you're going to scatter like sheep. You're going to deny me. And Peter says, no! And Jesus says, shut down, you shut up, you devil. He called him devil. He was not being a disciple. A disciple accepts whatever happens. Yeah. You know, we pray that our nation will be revived, and I pray for that every day. I pray that the crime family that's involved, the criminal families are involved in this country, that will be exposed, that we can get back to being America. America does not exist today. I pray that America will be recovered. I pray for that. And Jesus said here, from the time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, be murdered, and be raised up the third day, he talked about that in Matthew 16:1-4. He's going to further reveal that. Now, it didn't say that. He had a parable there. I'm going to give you the sign of Jonah. Now he tells us what the sign of Jonah is. Progressive revelation. And then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke the Son of God. Remember the last one, who is the Son of God? It's Jesus and he's Jehovah. And now Peter is going to tell him what to do. And Peter took him aside and kept on rebuking him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, that you shall never happen to you. This shall never happen to you. My goodness. The Old Testament said it would happen in Matthew 16, or not Matthew, but Genesis 3:15. God forbid it, for this shall never happen to you. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." He called him the devil. You opposer. Get your mind out of the world and into spiritual things. Remember why I came. I came to die and to seek and save sinners. I came to do this. Didn't you read Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53, Peter? Didn't they rehearse that in the synagogue? Didn't you understand what they said? You are a stumbling block to me. He's not. He's a little stone, all right, but he's a stone that you trip over. For you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. Go back into Isaiah 53 for just a moment. Isaiah 53, and let's look. Now, Peter read this before in the synagogue. I'm sure he did. Let's look at it. Who has believed our message? To whom is the arm of the Lord been revealed? The arm of the Lord means the very presence, the strength of the Lord, okay? And he grew up before him like a tender shoot, Nazareth. This refers to Nazareth. Nazareth means shoot, branch, root. And like a root out of parched ground, that's Nazareth again. He has no stately form or majesty. He wasn't crowned as a king of Israel, was he? Herod was. And then his sons, they split up the kingdom. They were all crowned, but not Jesus. Jesus should have been crowned. That we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. But Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He's the seed of the woman. He's Jehovah in the flesh. He was despised and forbidden or forsaken of men, and a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we do not esteem him. The word esteem him, we do not respect him. Israel was sent, the Messiah king, and they did not respect him. John the Baptist came. John the Baptist herald was a herald. He was Jesus said he was actually Elijah of the Old Testament. He said he came to herald. Malachi tells us that he came for to make the way straight for the Lord, Jehovah. Jehovah's coming. John the Baptist was the real Elijah to announce the coming and the way of Jehovah. But they were not attracted to him. They were attracted to Herod. They were attracted to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Levites, the scribes. He was forsaken. He was despised of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their faith. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore. He bore them on this earth. He bore being rejected. He bore this. This is something that he experienced. Our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves have seen him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was pierced through for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. This is Peter right now. This is Peter right here. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of all to fall upon him. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who consider it? That he was cut off out of the land of the living for transgression of my people to whom the stroke was due. Jesus had no earthly descendants. He left nothing behind. Jesus was cut off from the land of the living. He had no children. He did not marry. He did not leave descendants. Joseph Smith and Brigham Young are liars. They are liars. The Mormon church is a liar. Jesus didn't have a descendant through Mary or Martha. He had no descendants. He was cut off from the land of the living. He came, he died. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter of the gospel, is that Jesus Christ came according to the scriptures, that he died according to the scriptures, that he was raised according to the scriptures, that he ascended into heaven forevermore. He has no earthly descendants on earth. And he turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's." Now he's going to tell us what real discipleship is. This is what real discipleship is. Now, real discipleship. These are my disciples. And Jesus said to his church, he turned to Peter, he spoke to Peter, and now he's going to turn to his church. "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself. Let him be like Isaiah 53 did. Let him act like me. And take up his cross and follow me." Look at that word. Take up his stake or his cross and follow me. Like Jesus took up his cross and went to Calvary, we all have crosses that we need to bear. We all have a job to do. Jesus died for our sins and was raised for our justification. He left us here to be his disciples, to be his little Christ. We're Christians. "Whosoever wishes to save his life shall lose it." He's talking to Peter too. Peter's standing back there with his face hanging out because he just called him Satan, called him the devil. He said, "Whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whosoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For man, what a man will be profited if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what man will give in exchange for his soul?" There's nothing in the world we can do to get to heaven. Nothing we can do. Nothing we can do to get to heaven. What do you give for your eternal soul to be in heaven? There's nothing. We have no price to carry to God. The price is Jesus. The price is Jesus. "Well, the Son of Man is going to come into the glory of his Father and his angels, and will then recompense every man according to his deeds." John the Revelator tells us about this, doesn't he? Revelation, the 19th chapter, the 20th chapter, the 21st chapter, the 22nd chapter, it all talks about the recompense. It all talks about the eternal judgment. It all talks about Jesus coming and taking over on that white steed that is riding as a warrior. He came as a lamb the first time. He's coming as a warrior the next time. He's going to take the world back under control. "Truly I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who shall not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming into his kingdom." They'll not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming into his kingdom. By the way, he already had. John and Peter, they went up on top of that mount up there, the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus showed them his glory. He spoke to them, and Peter said, "Let me build three tents, one for Moses, Elijah, and one for you." And God the Father said, "Shut up, Peter, and sit down and listen." Again, Peter's not the rock. Jesus is the rock. Jesus is Jehovah, the Old Testament. And John, the first chapter, John explains exactly who Jesus is. And I don't think I even need to turn there. I can just quote it from Greek anyway. "In the beginning kept on being the Jehovah." Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead, because when he came to earth, he was still God. But then he was related to man. He was the seed of the woman. He kept on being part of the Godhead. because he kept on being God. John 1:18 says, Kai ho logos arche ganeto, and the Word and the Jehovah flesh he became and dwelt among us. We beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then the last verse there on this subject in John 1:18 says, no man has seen God at any time. But the only begotten God, in the Old Testament, they didn't really see God. But in the New Testament, God walked among mankind. No one has seen a God at any time, but the only begotten God, the one being in the bosom of the Father, inseparable from the Father, that one has led himself out from eternity into space and time in the person of Jesus Christ, according to the promise of Genesis 3:15. He was a rock that followed Israel. He is the bread of life. He is the water of life. He is the water. He's the giver of living waters, as he told the woman at the well in John the 4th chapter. He is the man that knows no. He's the one that no one knows his name. Revelation the 19th chapter, verse 11. The name that no one knows, the word, Hologos or Hashem. The word is Jehovah. And Jehovah is our Savior. John, the first chapter, tells us that the whole world was created by him and nothing that was created except it was through him. In Colossians, the first chapter, Paul repeats that very same thing. He said that in Jesus all things move and exist and have their being. And he said he holds all things together by the power of his word. And he is the living word. Jesus is our Christ. He is our Messiah. He is our Jehovah in the flesh. He is our Savior. And he is our God. Father, I send this message out for your honor and glory. Please use it. Edify your people from coast to coast and from continent to continent, wherever they are, from the South America to the Philippines to New Zealand, Australia, the Philippines, China, United Kingdom, France, Germany, India, all the people that hear these words, I pray that you build them up in your word. Let them know what they believe and why they believe it. And let them know personally your Savior that you sent into this world, that he is Jehovah, that he is the God of heaven, that you gave yourself to redeem us. In Jesus' name I pray, and please forgive me where I fail you. Amen.